you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28, and I bet many of you haven't been in this portion of Scripture for a while, but I think it'll fit into today's broadcast and seems to be another one of those verses that God put on my heart and something that'll somewhat tie into looking at James chapter 2. So reading from Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28, be careful to obey all these regulations I am giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord your God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, February 26, 2021. Hello, Pastor Jason Schiffo.
Mr. Mark Burns, how you doing?
I am well, and I thought this was an interesting passage as I've been kind of finding different scriptures that, if you will, resonate in my heart and mind, and I hope become an encouragement for our listeners. And as I was thinking about the portion in James we'll be reading and talking about, which deals with faith and deeds, and they're not mutually exclusive. In fact, they complement each other. And you mentioned this a little a few weeks ago, and we re-aired it again last week just to really emphasize people need to make sure they have that balance, that it's not by the deeds you get into heaven, but deeds should be expressed because of the faith and the desire you want to please God and follow in his ways. And so they kind of work hand in hand. But as I was thinking about that and I was in Deuteronomy, I like this. Be careful to obey all these regulations I'm giving you so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord your God. Kind of implying that, you know, the Lord does take notice of the things that we do, and he wants us to walk faithfully and do right and do good. And so there is a measure of, you know, there should be some works going on in your life if you're a follower of Jesus. And yet it's not all about works either, because it's about having faith and recognizing that your works can't earn you into heaven. It's the faith. It's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyways, I thought it was an interesting verse. It's out of Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28. So think about that, dear listener. God's word always is living and active, and there's points of application throughout all the scriptures, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament. And so I just thought that was an encouraging one. And I'll start reading in James chapter 2 at verse 14, but I need to do a little shout out. I spent a number of hours yesterday in Springfield meeting with some of the staff, meeting with some pastors, and then also meeting with a potential, I guess I would say, an intern or a trainee or a super volunteer. But Paige Reynolds contacted the station, I guess about a week and a half ago. She had heard me talking about the restaurant placemat program and the Prime Lifetimes publications and trying to make inroads in and around the Springfield area and into Lincoln and Bloomington. And I guess a friend listened to the broadcast, alerted her. She and I have emailed back and forth, and so yesterday I spent some hours sharing about the radio ministry and talking about the unique methods and means and ways that God helps us get the word out so that more listeners can be blessed by biblical teaching, you know, our educate, edify, and evangelize. And so she was very intrigued and interested and enthusiastic, so we're kind of going to give her a little test run as she volunteers and helps, and she's working on a couple projects for me. But you know, that's being my love language. When somebody says, how can I help? I get excited. So I think I talked for a couple hours at least straight, filling her in. I love to give everyone the overview of how God raised up this ministry, how we see him working in and through it. And so I think she got an earful, but seemed to be pretty encouraged by the time we talked about, okay, the next steps is, you know, making some inroads here, doing this, and we'll see how God continues to work through the super team of volunteers. That's my Beamer dog. He wants to get out of the studio here. I have him in the studio with me, and I think he's wondering what Mama Bear and daughter Esther are doing. So we'll see if I can get him to stop barking in a second here. But anyways, reading from James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Okay, I'll stop there. Oh, that's kind of like, you're going to stop there? Yeah, well, yeah, we'll begin talking a little about faith and deeds, but I think it's really interesting. Even the demons, you know, they talk about, like, even the demons believe in Jesus. So just by believing something doesn't mean you're following Jesus, you're surrendering to him, you recognize him as your Savior, because even the demons believe that Jesus is God's Son and shudder. So anyways, we'll see if we get there, but faith and deeds, you raised up a few weeks ago that what Paul talks about when it comes to faith and what James is talking about here that deals with deeds, they're not pole opposites. They're yes and or both, and sort of summarize that again as a framework to get us into the special text of God.
Sure. You know, a lot of people would attempt to theologically pit Paul against James. And they would say, well, Paul says faith alone. In fact, you know, we say that that's kind of one of the grand tenets of Reformed theology. Martin Luther said, you know, faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone. And so we would say, well, it's faith. There's nothing but faith. That's how we come to God. We come empty-handed. And there is nothing that we can do to earn God's favor. Mm-hmm. And then you come over here, and James says, yeah, but faith without works is dead. And so people would say, wait a second, it sounds to me like Paul and James are disagreeing. But they're not disagreeing. They're not disagreeing at all. Paul has to say faith alone because Paul, from the background that he came up in, remember Philippians where he says, Pharisee of Pharisee, tribe of Benjamin, as to the law, faultless. Meaning, I didn't just keep, you know, the one law. I didn't just keep the 10. I kept all 613 laws. And if you've ever read those 613 oral laws that surround the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, you'd say, how could anybody ever keep all of those? You know, and in those days, it would be impossible to carry around, you know, like the Cliff Notes version just to make sure that you kept yourself on track. But Paul says, when it, concerning the law, I was faultless. I kept every single one of them. Now, Paul understands that the background that he came up in and out of was legalistic. And so he had to tell them, listen, it's faith alone. Because your predisposition is to think that you can work to gain God's favor. Mm-hmm. That you can do any one of or all of the 613 things, and God is going to put a star on your chore chart. Now, James comes along, and James says, listen, faith is so important, because faith is the only way that we come to God. Again, we come empty-handed. But if there is no testimony of that faith, if there is no work that comes out of that, if Christ who saves you and who the Bible says sends you, and you do nothing, then what's the point?
Yeah.
It's as if that faith is dead, because it's as if the Christ who sent you is dead, that he has no voice, he has no prominence, he has none of that in your life, and you have no response to the work that he's done. I think I said a couple weeks ago when we were there that I had watched an interview with a gentleman, you know, it's kind of a Reformed interview. This lady was asking him about faith, and she was asking him about a bunch of different things. And he says, you know, I deny the cross. I deny the resurrection. And she kind of was stunned, because I don't think she expected a gentleman of his theological character and caliber to make such a statement. And it was beautiful the way he did it, because he let it just hang there for a minute. And then he said, I deny the resurrection every single time I'm unkind. Every single time I don't look to the things of Jesus. which is so true. We deny the work of Christ in our life, the ultimate work of salvation, when we don't do the things that Christ sent us and called us to do. You know, good works is the consequence of salvation, not the justification of it. Mm-hmm. We don't come with good works trying to justify that we're saved. Good works are the consequence of it. It's the component, the therefore go, the being sent out to go and do what God called us to do. And so James and Paul are not disagreeing. James and Paul are actually agreeing. But Paul is speaking to a very specific audience in Romans. He's speaking to Roman Jews, those kinds of people who would have said, we can always work our way towards God. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's Paul's constant struggle when he writes letters to people who have converted from Judaism into Christianity, is that they're trying to add things to the gospel. They're trying to bring back, you know, well, you know what I mean? You can be saved by faith alone, but what about circumcision? You know, you should be circumcised too. You know, and that's when Paul writes and he says to the circumcision party, listen, stop it. Mm. Stop trying to create this extra step to get to God. Because that's just that's our human predisposition, isn't it?
Right.
That's our human predisposition, to put steps or that to try and verify the work of God instead of just accepting and understanding and saying, yes, look what the Lord did. We always want to try to work. As a man, and you as a man too, Mark, that so speaks to our heart, right? When something's happening, what's the first thing we want to do? How do I fix it? Do you need me to run to the store? What can I do? You know, and that's because we're predispositioned, we're hardwired to work. But listen, good works is the consequence of salvation, not the justification of it. And so it's interesting what James says here, right? Because he says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed or lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them the things that need it for the body, what good is that? Mm-hmm. He's saying, listen, you can preach the gospel with absolute perfection, but if that's the end of the work of Christ in your life, you know, if you attend all the Bible studies and hear all the great preaching and know all the quotes and can memorize all the scripture, but it never makes it into your hands and your heart and out into the world, then what good is that? Mm-hmm. What good is that? And I love that up and against the verse that you opened the word up with, because you said, you know, be careful to obey all these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children. Now, this is Deuteronomy chapter 12, which begins by saying these are the statutes and rules that you are to be careful to do. So the idea here is that you are careful to live out the word and the work of God in your life in such a way that it is a testimony to your children. It is a testimony to those people around you. Mm-hmm. It's not simply something for you. There's an old rabbinic quote that says, a blessing that is given to you, and certainly salvation is the greatest blessing we could ever receive, but a blessing that is given to you that is unshared becomes a curse. Mm-hmm. And so when we're blessed, you know, with the greatest thing that can ever happen, with the good news that Christ indeed saves, that is something that we want to live out, so that everything that we do, everything that we are partaking in, points people back, cries out, look to the cross, look to the cross. Mm. And James says here, I love how he says, if your brother or sister is poorly clothed or lacking in daily food. Now, those are two interesting examples that he gives. I mean, he says poorly clothed because in that day, the Romans had a practice which was called exposure. What they would do was they would strip somebody naked and they would just throw them out into the field. And a person would generally die because of exposure. They would die of exposure to the elements. They had no clothing, nothing to protect them. And so, you know, between, you know, the sharp rocks and the grass and, you know, kind of their surroundings and the weather itself, you know, especially in the Middle East, the really hot days and the really cold nights,
right,
they would die of exposure. So James says here, poorly clothed, because people could die of exposure. And then he says, lacking in daily food, because obviously hunger is a thing that can happen that will just absolutely ravage and kill you. And so he addresses these two basic needs that you can meet practically. I mean, everybody has more than enough to eat. In fact, just think about it. In the United States, we have so much to eat that like we supersize meals. And then we throw things away. I think that I read not too long ago that the average American throws away 14% of the food that they buy because it either goes bad or something happens. Or, you know, like in our house, sometimes you just have the best of intentions. Like, I'm going to make that. And then by the time you go to make that, it's like spoiled, or maybe you just decide you don't want to make it. In fact, we have kind of a running joke in our house. We love the idea of buying the pineapple. We just don't love the idea of cutting it before it goes bad.
Yeah.
And so all the time, that just seems to happen in our house. In fact, we get a pineapple, and it's just like counting down the days until, you know, it goes bad and we don't eat it. So the average American throws away 14% of the food that they have in their house. And so we have more than enough food. In fact, the average meals that we eat are larger than probably calorically what we actually need in our body. So we have enough to share with others. The problem, and there were some really great social scientists that did some study on this a number of years ago, the problem is not that we don't have enough food to feed all the people who are starving in the world. The problem is distribution. You know, the problem is getting it into their hands. So it's not the problem of do we have enough, it's the problem of do we have the greatest methods to be able to get this into the hands of people who need it. And some of the problems maybe that we have is that we rely on kind of organizations and programs to do that instead of block to block, neighbor to neighbor. You know, one of the great things that I think happened during the COVID time was there was leftover bread that was picked up from the grocery stores, and you could come and grab that bread and do whatever it was you wanted. You just couldn't resell it. So one of the churches here in Mahomet was picking up the bread. A couple of guys had gotten together, and they picked up the bread, and they dropped it all off at this church. And I would go every Friday morning, and I would pick up, you know, a huge load of bread, whatever they had. Sometimes they had donuts. They had white bread. They had all different kinds of bread. And I would just take it, and I would bring it to people's houses. And it was amazing to take this stuff that would have gotten thrown away and just drop off a bag on people's porches and distribute it.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out into the hands of people, because that's really the problem that you have. I know another gentleman, he got a line on this ground beef. He gets all this ground beef, and he gives it away to people. And this is ground beef that I found out would otherwise have been thrown away.
Mm.
And so he gets this ground beef because of a friend of his told him that this stuff gets thrown away, and he said, I'll take it. So he takes it. And then he, you know, takes these big 10-pound chubs of ground beef, cuts them up into pounds, and then gives them away. And you go, wow, that's amazing. Look at what we can do. You know, I even heard stories about during COVID, you know, when pork wasn't able to be processed. And because the pork wasn't able to be processed, the pigs grew oversized. You know, the way that they can process pigs is very specific. And so the pigs grew oversized. And so I heard stories of people who were buying these pigs because they were insanely cheap. I mean, I think you were able to buy a 300-pound hog for $99. So people were buying this for $99, paying somebody else to process it, and then giving the meat away. Because a $99 300-pound hog yields all kinds of meat, and then just giving it away. And so there are so many ways that we can meet the needs of people around us. And then we think about lacking clothing. Oh, my gosh. We have a closet full of coats. I mean, I know when somebody says, hey, we're collecting coats, all of a sudden the shippo closet opens up and all these coats fall out,
sure.
You know, because we've been given a coat, or maybe we bought a coat, or a coat has a little tear in it, and then we say, well, I'll keep that as the garage coat, you know, or something like that. But we have so much excess that we can easily meet the needs. And that's what James is saying is here. He's saying, listen, it's possible that you could know every verse in the Bible. It's possible that you could attend every Bible study, that you could exude, you know, externally to the people around you, the kind of faith that just looks, wow, if I only had that kind of faith, and never have it make its way into the work of your hands, and your faith is dead.
Yeah.
And I think the reason that he says this is because dead faith, the kind of faith that doesn't serve, makes it look like Christ is still in the grave. You know, what did Jesus say? Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus said, listen, the crux of the cross was the fact that I stepped into the world. God himself stepped into the world not to be served. That was the rest of the gods of the world. The rest of the gods of the world were like, come and worship me. Come and serve me. this God, God incarnate in the flesh, Jesus Christ, steps into the world not to be served, but to serve, to come and to give his life for a ransom for many. And therefore, if his people who are called by his name, who are sent and empowered by that same message of salvation in Christ alone, by faith alone, then we go and we serve others. And James says, listen, you can have a kind of faith that is a living faith that says Christ is alive. Or you can have a dead faith that says, gosh, I guess he's still in the grave. You know, it made me think about this. I had a conversation with somebody really along these same lines a number of, well, maybe it was a week ago. Boy, sometimes the days just fall together. I don't know if it's old age or just the season of life that I'm in, but it just feels like that. But we were talking about John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, you know, it talks about Christ coming into the world. And in it, it says, and the Word became flesh. And so God incarnate, the Word, the living Word. You know, it says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So since the beginning, this Word, this person who is God, who was with God, put on flesh and came into the world. And he did so to go to the cross, to bring us back to God. But just as the Word became flesh, the living Word became flesh, we read the Bible and the Word becomes flesh. We internalize and we take the Word of God and we read it and we believe it in such a way that its words become part of our very flesh. And what he calls us to do and to be becomes a part of who we are. When we take the Bible and we read it, we believe it and we actually do it, the Word becomes flesh. It puts on flesh and blood when you do it, Mark, and when I do it, and when all who are listening right now do it, the Word becomes flesh. Then when you say things like, for God so loved the world, somebody goes, man, that's hard to wrap my head around, but God seems to be loving me through you. You know, when the world looks and they don't see our preaching as hypocrisy, but they see our preaching as, oh, my gosh, I see that in the body of Christ. Like, I see that in the people of Christ. I see them doing those things. I see them living out those things. Those words that they're speaking, they have flesh on them. Those words have become flesh.
I wrote down that those words become our speech and our action. We really put it into practice.
We totally do.
Becomes a part of us. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. We're looking at James chapter 2, and may it be something that you ponder or think about or read today as you prepare for church service this Sunday. We pray you'll be in a house of worship and be a part of an active body growing and learning where the pastor divides God's word and equips you for the week ahead. So thank you, Pastor Jason, for being available. And let's be in God's word today and this weekend, everyone. And let's allow God to not only give us tasks and duties to do, but also the words to encourage our neighbor to love on one another and to lift high the name of Jesus, who we just celebrate as our Savior, as our Lord, as the King of Kings. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.